Go. I'm Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO. And today is a Rumination Thursday, February the 11th in the year of our Lord 2016, which means we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How you doing on this chilly morning?
I'm doing pretty good. The day after Ash Wednesday.
Oh, yes. It was a great time. Our church went to Our Savior's last night, and it was almost completely full.
Wow. So six people showed up. That's wonderful.
It was closer to 300, 350.
Oh, that's great. Yep, every Wednesday now, at least during the season of Lent, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday. And we pray that people will be attending a church where they're hearing the Word of God taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. So if you've got a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in your area, visit them. Because that's what we're all about. Which leads us to our subject for today. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, that oftentimes when preachers get off track, they either do so because they misinterpret a text or they misapply a text. And we're going to be taking a look today at a United Methodist Church pastor who had an article in the Post-Dispatch entitled Balancing the Portfolio of Life. And the law part that he had, which wasn't too bad, if you invest in stocks, you need a secure seat belt. And he was talking about that people are nervous because of lack of college funds, retirement funds, down payment funds. And you know, we're really losing our security a lot of times. But then he quoted Jesus, and it's from Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, normally, when I read the Post-Dispatch, Wes, I'm just looking for it to see what contradicts Lutheran theology. And when I read that, I said, well, maybe he's going to be on the right track about talking about treasure. But I wasn't disappointed. It was a misapplication of the text. And I know you've done a little bit of work on that. Can you kind of expand on this? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, and what he does with that?
Right. Well, when you talked to me about that, I thought, wow, you know, at first I said, well, it's just a short article. But the more I got into it, the more I went, wow, there's a lot of differences going on there. Of course, he's talking about, one of the things I said is, I wrote on a slip of paper, don't do a SMAD. Do an ET is what he's saying. Well, SMAD is S-M-A-D. And, of course, he was referring to stock market affective disorder. And that's what we're seeing with investors or people
yes.
that are involved in there. When the stock market takes a 600-point crash or a 300-point crash, they're all scrambling. Blood pressure goes up. Where's my investments going? So he says, instead of doing that, do an ET. Well, what's an ET? An emotional treasure is what he calls it. He took the word treasure and changed it to the word priority and do a treasure.
Well, that's an important point to make, that he says the word treasure is what is your priority, and also that the word heart refers to your character, your distinct personality. And he says, if you put the word two words together, you don't want to put all your chips on one color on life's roulette wheel, such as on finances, then you're going to be a nervous wreck. Now, I don't think we would disagree with the article up to that point, that obviously if you put all your chips that maybe you're a very handsome person and therefore you're going to get ahead, or you got a good job, or you got a wonderful family. And I'll tell you, I had a very good friend of mine during Christmas week. It's a wonderful family. He and his wife go to church all the time. And in 1 week, she broke her hip. His daughter totaled the car on the highway. His son had $1,000 damage to his car because in the snow he ran over something on a parking lot. And it was one thing after another. I even asked him, are you going to call yourself Job? Well, there's a good thing that he could have been a nervous wreck, but you see, his heart and his treasure is in the right place. Before we talk about the way that this particular Methodist pastor says where your heart should be, how do you understand where your heart should be?
Well, I think you have to back it up. You know, we use that Reformation principle, let Scripture interpret Scripture. And it says there, do not lay up, in chapter 6 there, 19, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And then there in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Yes.
Where neither moth nor rust destroy.
Now, what does that mean? How do you lay a treasure up in heaven since we're not there yet?
Well, we can't. We know as Lutherans, we always teach you can't work your way to heaven, so you can't put treasures into heaven.
No. Well, but, isn't the problem, the reason we have a lot of problems here on earth is we lose hope. And if all our hope is based here on earth, that's where our treasure is. Whereas when it talks about putting your treasure in heaven, that means our hope is not based on our experience here on earth, but rather on the promises that God gives us from heaven.
Right. One of the passages I pulled out that I remember you doing so well was from Ephesians chapter 2, that we're made alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. We look to Jesus.
Yes, and this is how you balance the portfolio of life, by looking to Jesus as your only hope. Now, what is so astounding about this article by what appears to be a Christian pastor is the only time the word Jesus ever appears is in quoting, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he misinterprets the text, thinking that your treasure is what you set as your priority and your heart is your distinct personality. How does he think that this text applies to people today?
Well, as it applies to people today, is treasure priorities, food pantries, other people, emotional highs by getting involved in there. And I wrote down here, what happens to you when you don't have the money or you don't have the energy to go out and do that? You know, that emotional high that you get with that emotional treasure of helping other people goes to a low because you haven't been able to fulfill it.
You know, I think you're really accurate on that, and I'm going to quote what I think is the main statement. It's near the end. If you want to balance the emotional swings of the market, invest heavily, not in Jesus, but in relationships. And this is a very popular notion today. You've got a lot of churches that are trying to build their numbers by creating relationships. They think that's the goal of the Christian church. And we don't disagree that you need to have a proper relationship, but it's not relationships with other people that help balance a portfolio of life. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost.
Right. And I would say, you know, you'd have to have that, what, quote, conversion process that goes on. That may bring them in. A wife may bring a husband, or a husband brings a wife, or family or friends or something else that brings them into the church. But it's ultimately the words, for faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ.
Yes, you know, long gospel talks about that we get to heaven not by the law, but by the gospel. And also we balance a portfolio of life not by doing something, but by believing something. Now, I want to read this little paragraph that he wrote, and you tell me if this is law or gospel. He says, the way to invest heavily in relationships, this means channeling some of your energy into connecting with people you don't know, filling a food pantry, doing a service project, engaging in flood cleanup, volunteering for Meals on Wheels, being a mentor. Now, is that law or gospel?
Actually, he meant it as gospel, but it's law.
Well, that's a really good insight. How do you mean that he meant it as gospel?
Well, he means it as doing something nice for people, because that's what Jesus would want us to do, you know, love one another. But it again takes the interpretation to a whole different level, away from Jesus.
In fact, I see this, you know, you'll go through a grocery store, or I like going to McDonald's, and here's how I order from McDonald's. I'll have, let's say, whatever I'm ordering, one bag of French fries, and that is all I want. Invariably, the person behind will say, would you like a drink with that? All yeah. I do is I look at them, I say, okay, let me try it again. I want one bag of French fries, and that is all I want. You see, they're trained to ask you if you want something else. They're trained to be kind to you. And what this pastor is doing, he says, you want to balance the portfolio of your life, then do these things and you'll be a happier person, which really means you've got to do something out of your self-interest. So I'm not filling a food pantry or volunteering for Meals on Wheels or being a mentor because that's what God wants me to do. No, it's kind of a way of getting health in my psychology, make me feel good about myself. And that way, he thinks, you're going to balance the portfolio of life.
Well, I think, yeah, and I agree with you, and I think that's very well said. But part of me has to say, okay, how do we balance the portfolio of our life? I look at it in Ephesians 2 again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, so, in fact, I'm going to give you an example why setting your own priorities often don't work. Because the point I'm going to make is, I can't set my priorities. God sets priorities. Last Sunday, I preached twice on a Sunday, and I asked the pastor, I always help with communion when I preach, and there's communion Sunday. I said, would you have any objection? I have a place to go, and I'd like to get there a little earlier, that after communion, I can just leave, which means, you know, we wouldn't be there for the rest of the service. And he said, no problem. So I'm giving out communion. And I look down the pews to see how many more people were coming up. And there are some ambulance attendants in the pew taking care of one of the members.
Ooh.
Well, after communion, I whispered to the pastor, do you want me to go back there and you finish the service? He said, yeah, why don't you do that? And so I went back there to pray with the family, and the lady went into the ambulance, and there were some other things that were happening. Well, guess what? I did not leave early. In fact, I was there 45 minutes longer than usual. Talk about priorities that I want to set up not being fulfilled, because God sets the priorities. And how was I able to balance that? Because I was kind of looking forward to getting to that next stop a little earlier, but it was a promise from God that he would never put me in a situation where things don't work out. So I didn't know how this was going to work out, but I depended on the promise of God that he would not have let this happen had he really wanted me to leave early and get to my appointment. And everything did work out in the end. But see, that's how you balance the portfolio of life. No matter what hits you, you remember that God has made a promise never to leave you, never to forsake you, never to give you more temptation than you're able to endure, and the many other hundreds of promises in the Bible. That's the portfolio of life that's balanced by your relationship, not with other people, but with Jesus Christ.
I agree with you. I mean, I had a somewhat similar situation last week.
Oh, what happened?
I was going to go see a movie, and the more I got to looking at being able to go see the movie, I said, man, I've got a few other things that need taken care of that I need to take care of around the house. So I'll do that. Well, I get a phone call because I was on call for one of the congregations out in our district.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the ICU unit and spend time with a family talking about our faith in Christ and praying with the family. And ultimately, the lady passed away. But not before we were able to ask her the questions, which we knew she was a Christian. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Yes. And do you believe that Jesus died upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sin? We all knew that she would answer yes, but it was the family hearing that, you know, and the witness that she gave. And that was the balance of portfolio of life. I thought, this is a lot more important than seeing a movie or cleaning up around the house or whatever it may be.
Well, what I find interesting is God didn't let you go see the movie, because if you've been in the movie, do you answer your phone in the movies?
I actually turned it off.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And you would have missed that call. You would have missed that opportunity. God was setting up your priorities. And even though you changed the priority, God had even a bigger priority for you so that he could make use of your ministerial skills in comforting the people.
Exactly. I sit back and I look at that last week and I go, he had it all in mind. He knew what he was doing.
See, this is why we encourage people to come not only to church but to Bible study, because there you learn the promises of God that really balance the portfolio of your life. I mean, what's the almost favorite kind of worship service most pastors like preaching at?
Funerals.
Yes, because you have everyone's attention and you are really able to comfort those who are having a terrible portfolio of life at that time when one of their loved one has died. That's what we're talking about, that yes, you can have all the relationships you want with someone, but they should not be brought about in order to heal yourself. They should be spontaneous in light of the relationship that Jesus Christ has made with you. And that's a huge difference, that the works of sanctification are not done as a way of self-interest, but they're done as a thank you to Jesus for his interest in you.
You know, and what was interesting about that call is this mother and grandmother, Her relationship wish was that the family attend church, and I had no problem sitting down and talking to the family. What mom's talking about is word and sacrament, being connected to God's word and in the forgiveness of Christ, and hearing that in the hymns and in the preaching and in the lessons and in the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper.
Yes. To balance the portfolio of life means that Jesus needs to be the motivation behind your actions and believing his promises. That's the distinction between law and gospel. Let me read his last paragraph to give you an indication of why what he thinks is the proper motivation. There are probably as many ways to invest in relationships as there are mutual funds. And the emotional satisfaction you get can't be affected by whether or not Boeing meets its 2016 estimates. So what's the motivation?
Yeah, motivation is emotions.
Yes, emotional satisfaction. Well, I don't know how what kind of people he has in his congregation, but don't you often run into people whose job may be to take care of individuals, like an insurance salesman or a doctor or a nurse or a policeman? I'll tell you, you talk to some policemen today with what's going on in the country where many people are looking down on them, and you even have politicians talking about that certain groups of people can't walk safely because of the police in their area. I tell you, they aren't getting the emotional satisfaction just simply because they're helping out people, because of all these other things that are going on in the country from a political point of view. So it is wrong to give the impression that if you only help out people, if you only have better relationships, then you will receive an emotional satisfaction. Well, what do people do who are involved in those kinds of occupations or vocations and don't get an emotional satisfaction? That's why they commit suicide.
Yeah. No, you really hit on it. If we look to Jesus, in fact, that's our transfiguration, right? At the end of that transfiguration of Jesus, the voice from heaven, God the Father, says, "This is my chosen one. Listen to him." And then it tells us when it was all done, there was Jesus alone. So we look to Jesus.
Yes. And that's really critical, that we listen to Jesus. So when Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If our treasure is anything here on earth, including building relationships with others, we're going to be disappointed.
Right.
The treasure needs to be Jesus, he, and he alone.
And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, as it tells us in Ephesians 2.
For good works.
Yes.
Yes. So the good works are important, but they don't become the major motivation for us to get emotional satisfaction. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, it's kind of like being hired in a business and you pretend to be nice to everybody because you want to make sure you keep your job. And, you know, there's one place I go to, I won't mention it. It's kind of a grocery store type thing. And I can't walk down one aisle without somebody coming up and say, "Can I help you?" You know, I know what I'm there for. If I need help, I'm almost going to make a bunch of cards up and I'll hand it to them and say, "If I need you, I'll let you know." You know?
Yeah.
But it just bugs you when that happens. So you know how I've been getting around it recently?
How's that?
I put my phone to my ear and pretend I'm talking to somebody that nobody bugs me.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm trying to prove I'm a poor, miserable sinner, just like you are, Wes.
You know, I may or may not get an emotional high by giving to a food pantry or helping out people that are in distress and things like that. But it's all worked into the fact that I believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he's created me for these good works. It cut flows from my life in Jesus. And I think that's where we got to talk to people about balancing their portfolio.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. You just talked about going to visit a lady who ended up falling asleep in Jesus. I'm confident that you had emotional satisfaction after that was over because of the way God used you. And you didn't go there and say, "Yeah, I got to go there, talk to her so I get an emotional high."
Right. No, you got it exactly right. I mean, it was amazing. The more I looked at it, I go, "God, you had your way."
Yes, he has his priorities. And see, that was what the problem with the disciples were. The priority of Jesus going to the cross, they did not like. Peter says, "Don't worry, Lord, I'll protect you. Get thee behind me, Satan." So when you do something to get emotional satisfaction, and that's the reason you do it, you are working with Satan, not with God.
Right. And another reminder is, you know, we're in the season of Lent. Every Wednesday, our churches are having Lent services where we can hear about Christ's suffering and death upon the cross and the forgiveness that he's won for us.
And also what that means to us, particularly in light of the promises. I'll tell you, if you have a sermon and you don't bring in the law and the gospel, you may have given a good lecture, but you probably have misunderstood the interpretation of a text and certainly misapplied it.
Well said.
All righty. So any future you have with you're taking care of a congregation on call right now, eh?
Well, I just finished up, and looks like I'm going to have another one coming up shortly.
All righty. Well, thanks so much, Wes. God willing, next Thursday we'll be back on the air.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm Tom Baker. Tonight I'm at Trinity Orchard Farm. And if you have never heard what I'm going to be saying about the Good Samaritan, you might want to be there. It's at Trinity Orchard Farm tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going over the Good Samaritan, Trinity Orchard Farm over there in St. Charles on Highway 94. You get off on 370, get on 94, go about 4 miles, and you'll run into, you first go by their school, and then less than a half mile away is the church. And we're in the basement of the church tonight, 7 o'clock, on the Good Samaritan. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening to Law and Gospel. You want to get a hold of me? Remember, Open Mic Friday tomorrow. You can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.